This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Good morning and welcome. We are back here on a Thursday, the 24th of September, and live in the Palatial Studios in downtown Decatur. A lot to get to here today, but we start as we do every Thursday at 7 o'clock with the City Hall Insider, publisher of the Decatur Tribune, former mayor of Decatur, Paul Osborne. How are you doing on this Thursday morning? Good to be back with you.
Well, yeah, welcome back. It's we miss you. When you're gone.
Well, it's good to have a couple of weeks of time away, and I hope you enjoyed your being able to take some mornings off. But we're back in the groove and ready to go. Let's talk a little bit about the food drive before we get into the other areas, including the city council race, which I think is going to be very, very interesting. The food drive is a week from tomorrow, hard as that is to believe, October 2nd. We're going to be doing it a little different this year, as everything is a little different this year. But you've always been so supportive of the efforts. Why is it important to you for the community?
Well, it speaks to the heart of this community, and it speaks about giving to help others. I mean, everything about the food drive has always been so right, and it's always been so Decatur. And I know when I was mayor, I had a representative of another city talk about the food drive to me privately, and he said, we could never do this in our city and get this kind of response. I don't know if he was selling his city short or not, but I think people are amazed after all these years of how many people will step up just to help other people. And many of these people who step up don't have a whole lot, for themselves even. And I think during this particular year, there is even a greater need. And I think it's not only to help people out, who really need help and to help the disadvantaged and hungry in our community, but it's also a boost to the morale of this community. And I think the people of Decatur have always found, in central Illinois, that it's hard to feel any better about your community or yourself than when you're giving to others.
Yeah, I hope that's still true, Paul. I really do. There's part of me that just sort of looks at the ugliness of social media and the political divide, social unrest that's going on in this country. And it's hard for me to find many things that we can rally around, commonly, together, no matter what your political affiliation, no matter what your age demographic. There's fewer and fewer things where Americans, as Americans, are finding something to unify and rally behind.
Well, and I've always appreciated the fact of the community food drive because at least as I've witnessed it and been there, I think, about every year since it started and always looked forward to going. You know, I've seen all the divisions and the political divisions and that, and maybe they weren't as sharp in past years as they are this year, and the opinions maybe not as strong. But I've seen those kind of dissipate when the food drive starts. They're just Americans. They're just people. They're just citizens of central Illinois pitching in. And maybe that diversion is what we need also right now, that we come together because this is something really good for everybody, for those who are helping out and for those who are receiving that help. And my goodness, if the food drive can't bring us together, for the common purpose of the good of our community, the good of others, I'm not sure what would.
Yeah, and the common goal of making sure a child doesn't go to bed hungry in our community, that's something we can do. There's a lot of things we can't do, but that is something we can accomplish. So thank you for the kind words, and we appreciate your support over the years. You've always been a big proponent, and thank you for the coverage as well. Next Friday, a week from today, at Kroger, we'll be doing it a little different, cash and checks and credit cards and all that. We've got some lanes set up where we can swipe credit cards, and we're going to work it out and make it as safe as possible and follow all the protocols. But even though all of those new rules are in place, the need has never been greater.
Yeah, the need never stops. And as I mentioned, this year it's even greater, I think. For a lot of reasons, it's greater. And I just think it's a boost not only to those receiving, but it's a boost to our community. I mean, this community, like communities all over the country, have really been hit hard. And it's been demoralizing for so many people. We need a lift. And not only is this a good way to get a lift, it's an extremely good way to help others, very positive.
All right, let's talk a little bit. We visited with the mayor a little while ago, talked a little bit about the municipal election next spring. You've written about this, Pat McDaniel not running for re-election, so there will be a new council member no matter what. A lot of people have downloaded petitions or taken out petitions. You know, we see that every year. You see people that are these one-issue voters. They're mad about a certain vote or a certain thing. Some of them end up running. Some of them make a lot of noise and don't run at all. I mean, there's a big difference between being mad and posting something on Facebook and then actually doing the work of running a campaign.
Right. And I think sometimes those people are encouraged by two or three other people, you know, you run and we'll support you. But it takes a lot more than that. You have to think this thing through. And I think, as you mentioned, a lot of people take out petitions as a rule because they're upset about a decision. They're upset about something council's done. And this is my chance to get something done. But hey, there's a lot more than being a one-issue candidate, and I think that's they find that out once they kind of get into it. They find out that you need a lot of support to make it to council, even though the turnout is so poor. I would hope that would change because, and we say this almost every election, this is, you know, a critical election, but this one really is for city council, and I can tell you as a mayor, the mayor is not up for re-election and won't be for, you know, for 2 years. But the people that you work with on that council can go can make that council a better council or a worse council. And it can be a nightmare for a mayor in trying to get something done, or they can supplement what the mayor is doing and work together. And certainly this is a time in our city's history that we need the city council to work together for the common good of this community, because some really, really critical decisions are going to be made impacting the whole community in the near future.
Yeah, it's going to be an important race, and I worry about the burnout and the fatigue. I mean, we're literally right now 40 days until November 3rd. We're 99 days until the end of the year 2020. And before we start thinking about, you know, in earnest, this municipal election and how important it's going to be.
Yeah, and I think also it's burnout. It's just like every time you watch TV or do anything, you know, there are candidates arguing for and against each other, and you know, a lot of name calling and everything. And by the time the general election is over, if that's ever going to be over, you know, everybody's going to be exhausted, and it's kind of hard to turn around so quickly and focus on the local election, the one that really impacts on you and the taxes you pay and your roads and so many things. Everything that happens in this community generally goes through the city council, whether it's rezoning or anything like that. So the decision you make is the one for city council that's going to impact you in your home or your job here in Decatur. So you really need to pay special attention to the candidates and the issues and stay focused on doing the right thing. And right now, that's difficult. It's difficult because you got this big election, the presidential election, coming up, and it's kind of hard to see beyond that right now.
Yeah, I tell you, I was watching a little bit of cable news last night, which I don't do a lot of, but one commercial break, the entire break was either fair tax or tax hike, back-to-back-to-back-to-back TV commercials. You write in this week's City Beat about the Decatur Regional Chamber of Commerce members weighing in on this progressive income tax.
Yeah, and it's I certainly agree with you know, the poll that was taken of members by the chamber, and then coming to the conclusion that they are against this tax because it's certainly a hardship for business, and certainly I think the point that I always think about every time I hear the commercials for and against it is we've been lied to so many times by the General Assembly about taxation, and it's going to be a fair tax, and you know, we heard that the temporary income tax only going to be on for a while, and they made that permanent. And just like considering the finances of the state government and how our tax money now is handled, do we trust them when they say this will be good for about everybody but the really rich people? And to me, that's a ploy to say, yeah, let the rich people pay their share. Well, they're paying a lot of money now, a high percentage of taxes collected from wealthier people. But I don't know. We've been down this road too many times and been disappointed, and then it's too late. And I am against it. I really am. I think there's been so much of a burden placed upon businesses. I'm not only an editor and a publisher. I've been a businessman in this community, and I can tell you, every year it seems to get worse and harder in being a business person. We need some relief. We don't need additional taxes on people that are struggling, and that's what it's going to end up being, regardless of what you promise or what you say.
Yeah. Do you think, though, that this pandemic puts things in a different light? Well, I mean, we know what the budgets, you know, everyone, the city, the county, the park district, the state, we're all going to be hurting.
Yeah, we are. But I guess I find the city, the credibility of the city is far greater in terms of, you know, we need funds, you know, for our fire departments and for safety services. You know, we need that. And yet, you know, we see in Springfield all the money that's so often wasted. And I guess when I look at that and I see all the money that is spent in places and for reasons that don't really have much credibility with the average person, the average citizen or businessman, you know, I guess I just don't have a lot of confidence in how this tax will eventually impact on regular people, except probably bad.
All right. Paul, you also, and I know we had a story, many people in the media did, about the confusion about what was sent out by the Secretary of State's office. You know, Josh Tanner's doing a really good job here in Macon County, and, you know, he's got this under control. We've had him on the air, explained everything about the mail-in voting, all of this, and yet that one letter from the Secretary of State's office caused an awful lot of confusion, completely unfair to Josh Tanner, who's doing everything right.
Yeah, Josh is doing a great job, and we received almost immediately after, you know, we received that information at our house almost immediately here at the Tribune. We received that letter and that information from Josh. He's really on top of this, and he's doing everything he can to keep this election on all four legs during this difficult time. You know, keeping the table there for us to sit down at, and all the legs on the table. It's not collapsing. Josh, you know, people when they voted him in, you know, they kind of gave him a trial run, see how he's going to do, because Steve Bean was in there for so long, and Josh has done a great job. I think it only adds to the confusion when the state Secretary of State's office sends out information that county clerks, not only Josh, but other county clerks, have to explain what they're doing so people will understand. There's enough confusion in this election to begin with.
I think about, you know, he's had such a thankless job because he's been handed so many things that were not his problem, including the sheriff's race, which is still underway.
Yeah, and Josh is kind of a mild-mannered person. I don't think I've ever seen him upset or mad or angry. He just does his job, and he was an understudy in many ways to Steve Bean when he was in there. But you're right. I mean, he is dealing with some things now that he inherited with the office, and I commend him highly for the job he's doing, I think if you're going to rate county clerks, we're fortunate to have him in that position.
No doubt about it. All right, Paul, anything else you want to add to the conversation before we go?
Well, I just want people to use common sense and stay safe. I don't want to see anyone hurt or injured or beat up or anything over this division, over the mask and that. Just use some common sense that we want everyone to remain healthy. We don't want to lose anybody. And the suffering is intense when this happens for those who are left behind. And just stay safe and sane. I know I wear a mask about all the time, and I got back to the office from the post office the other day, started to take a sip of Diet Dr. Pepper, still have a mask on. It kind of becomes a part of your outfit, and you know, almost forget you have it on, so it's not that difficult.
All right, Paul, we appreciate you as always. Keep safe. We'll talk to you next week, and thanks for all the kind words about the food drive, and we really appreciate your continued support. Paul Osborne, the publisher of the Decatur Tribune, former mayor of Decatur, twice elected by large numbers by the people of this city. One of the best people you'll ever meet.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.